Okay, this should be, everybody should have a 23-page packet. You might be missing the last page because some of the machines I use only made 22 in a staple packet. So if you're on page 23, then you left it over there. But we'll see how far we get. As in the past years, and this year I was asked to split it up so we could have more than just an hour. As in past years, we're going to go straight through the Haggadah. We'll try to make this a very practical shiur, not in terms of halacha l'maisa, which we've discussed the past couple of weeks on Shabbos, but in terms of l'maisa, stuff to say over, Divrei Torah, which is what the Seder is all about, having discussions, and one is allowed to say this even at the day meals. You know, it's not usher. You don't have to say it at the Seder. There is some time for during the day. But we'll have various types of thoughts. Hopefully some of them will inspire, will catch you. We'll have some halakhic thoughts, hashkafic thoughts, Divrei Machshava, some stories. So, and we'll go straight through the Seder, one or two thoughts on each paragraph, and we'll see how far we get. In this packet they have in front of you, this goes through Yochel Mirosh Chodesh. From the beginning through Yochel Mirosh Chodesh. So we'll see how far we get tonight. And whatever we don't do tonight, we'll, Bez Hashem, pick up with next Tuesday night. Okay, so let's begin with something before the Haggadah, which has to do with the Hachana, the preparations for the Haggadah, for the Seder, and for Pesach in general. On page 1 and 2, you have, some of these Haggadahs are hot off the press that you have in here, and some of are oldies but goodies. The first one is hot off the press. Tiferes Shimshon is Rav Shimshon Pinkus, one of the great Gedolim that really the world didn't recognize until after his death, posthumously. His Svarim now are coming out every couple of months. Another one of his Svarim are coming out. They're all unbelievable. He has a number of Svarim on Tefillah. Sha'arim B'Tefillah is probably his major work. It's not so fat. It's a skinny little sefer, but it's just unbelievable. He talks about the Hashkafa behind Tefillah. But he has they put out a Haggadah of his as well. One of his part of his gavlos are his mishalim, his metaphors that he gives to explain different ideas about the halacha. So we'll have a couple of them in tonight's shiur. So let's start off in Tiferes Shimshon. He writes hachana for the seder. So he says towards the bottom of the page, right before I wrote line one, echad miyesodos hayadus hu hachana. Anything in life, any religious experience in life, it's all about the hachana. Everything you get out of something depends on and is a function of how much you put into it beforehand. If there's no hachana into something, there's no preparations, there's no spring training, then on opening day, forget it. You're not going to get anywhere. The more hachana, the more you prepare for something, the more you get into something beforehand, the more that it's meaningful. And he gives a mashal. Let's picture a youth. He comes back after a long journey. He's tired. He's exhausted. He finally gets to the destination. Let's think of us. We went on a business trip. We get back. We got stuck on the runway. Finally, we get a taxi. We had to wait for the taxi. We're exhausted. We get home. We finally get home. It's 11, 12. Everybody's sleeping already. We get back. It's dark. We go get a cup of orange juice from the fridge. We go into our bedroom, we start getting undressed, we brush our teeth, all of a sudden we sit down on our bed and say, I forgot to daven Ma'ariv. Oh, they. So what do? We put back on our clothes, we put back our shoes on, and then we have a Ma'ariv. But what kind of Ma'ariv do we really have at that moment? Says Rav Pinkus, who halech lehispalel Ma'ariv, ein sarich leta'er ketzad yira'e ha-Ma'ariv shalo. We don't have to describe what kind of Ma'ariv that is in that circumstance. Yet we have another story. A similar story. But with a very different and even opposite result. Talmidim. There's a Talmid in the yeshiva that lives distant from the yeshiva and he wants so much to go back to yeshiva for Rosh Hashanah. He wants to. I have Talmidim that go back to Eretz Yisrael just for Rosh Hashanah. They go back to be the Rosh Hashanah. So they get there and it's a tiring trip and they rush and they just took some tests in college and it takes time. Kedila Hagia Yeshiva Alav Linsoa and Nisiya Ruka. It's a long trip. Below Ode Ella turning the page. Shebederek Yishla Panzer Bagalgo. There's traffic. Umagia Yeshiva. So he finally gets to Yeshiva. Reva Shah Dovala Fnei Shkia. He gets to the Yeshiva 50 minutes before Shkia. Before Rosh Hashanah, he had a long journey. He's tired. He's hot. He's sweaty. V'kach, kishu ayif ba'derech v'roshu ka'ev, and he has a headache, and he's tired. Hu nichnas l'beis ha'medrash, and all of a sudden, he davens Ma'ariv. He's exhausted also. He's tired. He wants to go to sleep. But what kind of Ma'ariv does he have? What kind of marriage does he have? They're both exhausted in both stories. What's the difference? Madua. Why does he have an inspiring marriage? He got to the yeshiva. It doesn't just have to do with that he's in yeshiva and he's at home. The difference is what were they thinking about beforehand? What was in their mind before they davened? What was going on before the Ma'ariv? MS, Yeshiyata Deshmaim, Yuchedes Rosh Hashanah. Yes, there's a special Siyata Deshmaya davening on Rosh Hashanah. Achahezrehu Be'etzem Pashut Yoter. It's a much simpler idea. Habachurshin Asab Meshach Yomayim, Kdeli Yagil Shivasa Rosh Hashanah. Hayakol Hazman Be'matzav Shal Hachana. The whole trip is preparing. The whole trip is hachana. You prepare for something, it's much more meaningful. The other one, how much did he prepare for Ma'ariv? About 20 seconds. He got his clothes back on, boom, he davened Ma'ariv. Before that, there was no hachana. He was exhausted from the trip. All of a sudden, he decided to daven. Says Rav Pinkus, everything in life is totally on the hachana beforehand. Are the Mishnayos and Brachas discussed? The Chassidim, HaYishom, Shoah, Achas, and Mispalin. They said an hour beforehand. So we said when we did the daf, let's forget an hour. Well, that's not reality. Let's say 3 minutes. 3 minutes? That's 9 minutes a day. 3 minutes, let's tell ourselves to come 3 minutes before davening every day. It'll make a world of difference in our davenings. We usually, hopefully, we'll get there by Baruch Hu, by Meir, or by Ashrei. Usually we're running in and we say Shemon Esrei, we say Ashrei afterwards. Our davenings would be tremendously different if we sit for 3 minutes before davening and think about what we're going to do. It's all in the hachana. It's all in the preparations. Says Rav Pinkus, as we prepare, and this is, I think, is a good way to start this year, as we prepare for the Seder, the more we prepare for the Seder, the more we delve into the mitzvahs before Pesach, the more meaningful our Pesach is going to be. And the more we're going to get out of it. Because the more we put into something, the more we can get out of something. That applies to everything in life, but especially something as important as the Seder. And again, as has been mentioned, this year we have a tremendous opportunity. Erev Pesach, Shechol Yesh B'Shavas. So besides the craziness that leads up to that moment on Shabbos morning, what do you do about Shalosh Shudas and everything else? But then you got about 8 hours, Shabbos afternoon. Can't eat much. Okay, you gotta eat something. But what are we going to do? So we all should sleep to be ready for the Seder. But we have hours and hours to look over the Haggadah, to get ready for it, to get into it. We're not rushing home from work and getting home 10 minutes before Yontif. We have to go in relaxed and to make this, hopefully, a very meaningful Seder. So that is all about Hachana. Even before we get to the first paragraph, though, another thought about a minhag that we do right before the Seder. So we come home from shul. Now we're in the hachana mode. We come home from shul and we put on our kittel. The kittel is a minhag Yisrael, in robes, many tfutzas Yisrael, to wear a kittel on the Seder night. An avel, maybe not, but to wear a kittel. So there are many reasons given why a kittel is worn. On page 3, you have in front of you a Haggadah of Talalei Oros. It's a beautiful Haggadah. I just saw it this year. It's a compilation of many different commentaries. We're going to have a few thoughts from that Haggadah in tonight's packet. So he quotes, there are different. Some say the Shulchan Aruch Harav, on the second one on the page, quotes that the kittel, you know, we're about to have a Seder, we're about to have a big party, we're about to drink a lot of wine. The kittel is kind of to balance that. Kittel is known as Begin Mason, right? A person is buried in a kittel. So whenever we put on a kittel, we have to always realize that we're about to do something serious. So that's on the one hand. But that's not the most cheerful thought to think about when we put on the kittel, though it's one aspect. There are two other ideas as well. More than two, but we'll mention two others. See where the arrows are on line one. Atama levishas kittel b'lel ha-seder. This is from the Netziv. Eino kafisha makuval kafiya hamon, kidei shelo tazuch daito v'yizkar yom ha-misa. Kivin shu tam tamua, says the Netziv. Come on, you're supposed to think about death at a time after for the seder? He doesn't like that. Baram, what's the reason? Tigdu Chazal and Hope Balayla Zeh, why they do this? Kvishanogim Hayu Klal Yisrael Be'ezach Yilasa Pesach. Because we are reenacting what they did many moons ago, years ago, when they ate the Karban Pesach. Ubevade Ba'achlam Kachim Mishulchan Gavoha. Lo Hayu Lokshem Begder Achila Kvishalabshu Bevatehem. But Israel were eating Karbanos. Karban Pesach is one of the Karbanos. We know when a person brings a Karban, it's a Yontif day. Right, we mentioned that's the whole reason that there's an Isser to do Malacha on Erev Pesach. It's a Yontif day whenever we bring a carbon. So what, do you think we ate our carbon Pesach in our regular clothes? We obviously put on special clothes, clothes of royalty, clothes similar to the begadim of the Kohen and of the Kohen Gadol. So says the Netziv, maybe that's the kittel. The kittel, if that's our clothes of royalty. Lo hayu lovshim beged achila kvi shalavshim bevateyim. I lovshim beged chashuv shebizmanam. But who beged pishtan lavan? That was what they wore in those days. They wore special, white, pure clothing. So maybe that's an idea, a second idea, behind wearing the kittel. But maybe there's a third idea. And this is the next one on the page from Blake Ager Milublin. He notes that we wear a kittel another time during the year, and that, of course, is Yom Kippur. Some have a minute to wear it Rosh Hashanah, but that's not everybody. Everybody wears a kittel on Yom Kippur, and everybody wears a kittel at the Seder. What does Yom Kippur and the Seder have in common? So suggests for Blake Ager, Vinira, see where it is on line 9. It appears to me, Ki bePesach Yatsu Yisrael Meiraza Dimisaavosa Upaska Zu Hamason. In a Kabbalistic sense, says Rabbi Blake Ager, our zuhama, our spiritual impurity, left us at the moment of Yetzias Mitzrayim. We started to achieve, you know, this again, this Alpi Kabbalah, as much as we can understand, but we achieved a certain cleanliness. The zuhama that was inside of us left us at Yetzias Mitzrayim. And he continues, Lafichach Loshim Levanim. Therefore, we put on white. What is white? What does white have to do with purity? Kamo Isha Haloveshes Levanim La'achar Shapasku Yimei Tumasa. Just like a woman wears white, a woman puts on Begadim Levanim when she becomes Tahora. So that is why, says Reb Leib Ager, we wear the kittel to symbolize that we're Tahora like the woman. Before we go further, there's a problem with this. We find a problem with this. What did you say? By Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Zuama left. There's a Gemara. There's a Gemara that says, Memtesh Aritoma, and when did the Zuama ultimately leave? Shavuos, Hatinai. What are you talking about? He doesn't talk about that. That's my kash on him. What do you mean it left at Yetzias Mitzrayim? The Zuama, the spiritual impurity, left at Har Sinai 49 days later. So what do you mean that you put on the kittel now? Exactly. So maybe I think it works beautifully. That when does the woman put on a kittel? Oh, when does a woman put on Levanim? She puts on Levanim at the beginning of her Zayin Yemei Nikiyim. The beginning of the process. She already puts on the Levanim. So too, Yetzias Mitzrayim, that's the beginning of the process. So we wear the kittel. Just like the woman, she's not totally Becheskes Tara. She's starting the process. There's a discussion that we've shown it. Does it start at the beginning of Shiva Nikiyim or after? But either way, right when the Shiva Nikiyim, right when the purification process starts, she puts on the Levanim, so too we. And in the olden days, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the woman wore white robes. White robes. It wasn't just white in private, but it was white robes. Why? Because let's say I'm a Kohen. If I'm a Kohen, and I'm going to be, you know, I have to be careful in terms of being in proximity to an Isha Nida. So says Rav Leib Ager, maybe what's behind his thought is that just like a woman puts it on at the beginning of Shiva Nikiyim, so too we do. And again, I didn't give it to you, but we mentioned in the past the thought of the Arachayim HaKadosh on Parshas Emor. The Aruch Hayim says the entire Sviras HaOmer time period, the 49 days, the 7 weeks, is Klal Yisrael getting ready to be married to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Shavuos. So these 7 weeks are like our 7 days of cleanliness. So if you put that Aruch Hayim HaKadosh with this thought, it would fit perfectly. We're at the beginning of the process now. The beginning of the process, our Shiva Nikiyim to get Tahora to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that is why we put this on. So that's Pesach night. But then what happens, we know, later on, we did the Maisa HaEgel. And even after Har Sinai, we went down the Madrega. So when did we get back to the level? When did we get back to the level of our Zuama, this Kabbalistic impurity, leaving us again? When did we get to Lucho Shnios? Yom Kippur. So we reached that same level that we had started to reach on Yetzias Mitzrayim on Yom Kippur. So we read the Kittel on Yom Kippur as well. Those are the connection between Pesach night and Yom Kippur night. Amnam la'achar ma'aseh ha'egel chazra ha'zuama. It returns because we were over at Avodah Zarah, line 11. Ash asher b'yom ha'kippurim nisra'at HaKadosh Baruch Hu li'Yisrael v'chazru l'kedushas on harishona. And we return to our original kedusha, which we achieved at Yetzias Mitzrayim, and therefore loveshes levanim. So that's the connection between the night of the Seder and the night of Yom Kippur, the two nights where we wear a kittel. Okay, so those are just two introductory remarks that could be said before the Seder, could be said during the meal. You're allowed to give the Torah during the meal also, even though you're not saying any part of the Haggadah. The Shloha HaKadosh says it's the most special meal of the year because it's surrounded by Hallel. You have a Hallel before, you have a Hallel afterwards, and you're eating in the middle of Hallel. It's a Suda of Hallel. So the Shloha HaKadosh says it's the most amazing meal. It's a Suda of Hallel. Okay. That's out of order. I'm sorry. I got the meal already. Okay, I try to be orderly. Okay. Kadesh. So Kadesh is where it all starts. Yeah, there's no passage Kiddush. There's a lot to talk about by Kiddush. Let's give you one halachic slash hashkafic idea about Kaddish on page 4. It's from the Haggadah Kemotzei Shalal Rav. Kemotzei Shalal Rav is a set on Chumash. It's a beautiful set on Chumash which quotes things that you wouldn't have found otherwise. It quotes like Tshuvas and Achronim in other places that you wouldn't have looked al pi Seder HaChumash. So he has a 5-volume set on Chumash, but he also has a Haggadah out among other Sfarim. So he quotes there a question, a halachic problem with the Seder, which the post can deal with. And that is, usually there's a concept called Kiddush B'Makom Seuda. Kiddush B'Makom Seuda. Kiddush B'Makom Seuda is a 3-pronged requirement. Place, time, and content of food. Kiddush B'Makom Seuda means you have to make Kiddush in the same place where you're going to eat your meal. Number 2, you have to make Kiddush in a place, you have to make sure that it's called a Seuda, Mizonos, Chala, etc. But the one that's important for us is, it has to be in a certain proximity of time to your Seuda. I can't make Kiddush and then take a 30-minute walk and then come back and have my Seuda. That would violate the mitzvah of Kiddush B'makom Seuda. So the question that is asked about the Seder night is that I'm going to make Kiddush, Bari Priya Gafin, etc., etc., and I'm not going to make Hamotzi for another 2 hours. Okay, well, rush. 1 hour. So what happened to the requirement of Kiddush B'makom Seuda? It's a Yontif. Shabbos Yontif is a requirement of Kiddush B'makom Seuda. So what happened to that requirement? Says the that's the question on page 4. This is a thought from Rav Shlomo Zalman. B'chol yomot hashana yishchiv al adam aleches lechom yalachar kiddush. All the days of the year there's a chiyuv. It's not just a nice thing to do. There's an obligation to eat right after kiddush. Va'amnam yeshir asu lasi shir l'davar hazegabach agapesach. What do you do on Pesach night? Ula metzleinu hayom ein b'chol yehudi shlo averet et slo sha'a o shatayim mea kiddush ad l'suda. Okay, eat karpas in the middle. But that's not a suda. Suda has to be challah, matzah, has to be maybe mizonos in certain cases. So what happened on Yontif? Shaharei omrim es hagadah ba'arichos chalamar l'sab harizim eshubach. Ba'ashela neshelasi, line 5, eichitiru hefzik gadol shekazeb in kiddush l'su'udah. Right, so how is this allowed? We are not allowed to violate generic halachos that apply to all Yomim Tovim just because it's a specific Yontif. For example, another example I'll give you, what is the Ramah Paskin? Most Ashkenazic custom is we have 3 matzahs. Why do we have 3 matzahs? Every year we have Lechem Mishnah. Tonight we have Lechem 3. So why do we have 3 matzahs? Why not just 2? News, what's the answer? The answer is you got to break one. You got to break one by Yachas. If you get to break one, you don't have 2 whole matzahs. Lechem Mishnah is 2 whole matzahs. So that's why you have to add on another one. Because when you say Hamotzi, you have to have 2 whole matzahs, and one of them's broken. So the Rambam holds you only have 2. The Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch and the Grah. But what's the svar for the Ramah, for the Minhag of Ashkenazim, is that there's a rule all year round. You have to have Lechem Mishnah. That rule can't be broken just because there's something called Lechem Oni, and you have to break the matzah. So throw in another matzah. You have to have 3. So to here, you have a Chiyuv of Kiddush B'makom Seuda. So what happened to that? So says Rav Shlomo Zalman, line 6, Elabir Hagon Rav Shlomo Zalman Oyerbach, Tafkido Shalel HaSeder Hu Lekadesh Es HaLayla HaZeh. What's the usual purpose of Kiddush? So it's more of a halachic question with a hashkafic answer. What's the purpose of Kiddush usually? Kiddush is to sanctify what follows it. Kiddush, your Mekadesh, a mitzvah d'oraisa, Zacharas Yom HaShabbos HaKasho, we do that with Kiddush, that's a mitzvah d'oraisa, and you sanctify what follows, you sanctify the Suda. So usually the sanctification takes a few minutes, and then you eat right away. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, the 2 hours of Haggadah is not a hefsek. That's part of the Kiddush. That's part of sanctifying the night. This night is sanctified by my being Marich, telling over the story. That's not a hefsek. It's not a time issue. Kiddush B'makom Seuda means I can't do other things in between that don't have anything to do with my Kiddush, my sanctification. But says Rav Shlomo Zalman, the whole Haggadah is sanctifying the night. It's sanctifying the day of Pesach. That's a hemshach. That's a continuation of the Kiddush. That's not just a hefsek. Tafkidu shel alaseidu hu lekadish es halayla hazeh, to sanctify this night. V'yim kein hakol hu hemshach echad. It's all one continuum. V'dome hadavar. It's similar, he says, la'adam she'osa kiddush v'achar kachu marich. Ki yesh lo dveikus gadola b'Hashem. What if a person, a rebbe, is like so, he said Kiddush, he's like in his dining room and he's up there in the clouds for 10 minutes because of the Kiddush. That's a hefsek? As that a hefsek, as a hemshach, as a continuation, he's still in Kiddush. And then it takes him 10 minutes to do Nefilas Yadayim because he has to do Hachanis. And so that's all a continuation. That's not a hefsek. So it says of Shlomo Zalman, that's exactly what Maggid is all about. The whole Maggid, yes, it's usually you would say you can't do other things that are not connected, but we call it different things, Kaddish, Urchas, Karpaz, Yachas, Maggid, but the whole process of the Simonim, of the Seder, is part of the sanctification process, which usually on a Shabbos or a Yontif is just Kiddush itself, but on the Seder night, the one time of year, there's a much more elaborate detail given to be Mekaddish the night. You're making another bracha on Kosheni. That's true. Yeah, so therefore what? Why is that? That's also part of the process. Right? We pass, you're out like Ashkenazim, we make four brachas. Right? Interesting, that's another question not to deal with now. Interesting, why do we say a Bari Per Gafen on the second coast and on the fourth coast? We just said a Bari Per Gafen a little while ago. Especially the third and the fourth coast, not so far apart. We just made a Bari Per Gafen on wine, maybe 15 minutes ago by the third and the fourth coast. So the Rosh Shulchan Aruch says only the first and the third. Sfaradim only make brach on the first and the third. Ashkenazim again, the Rosh, 1, 2, 3, 4. Why? Because everyone is a separate mitzvah. But you're right, but every separate mitzvah contributes to this Kiddush. So I don't think it's a problem. Okay. So that's Kaddish. Okay, before we get to, we're gonna get to Halach Ma'anya. We're getting there. But before we get there, another interesting discussion. We're not going to read it all. I gave it to you. The discussion in the same Haggadah, Kamotzi Shalom Rav. This is on page 5 and 6. What's the source for the children taking the Afikomen? Where does that come from? It's not in Shas anywhere. It's not one of the 613. Mitzvah lignova Afikomen me'esahorim v'sho'alim matanos mehem. Doesn't say that anywhere. Doesn't say you have to get something. So where does that come from? Oh, so to keep them occupied. That's the answer which we're going to see. That's the Pashtus. The Pashtus is we do everything tonight to keep them occupied, to keep them interested. But there is a discussion. They try to find Gemaras and Rambams to try to see where did this come from? How old is this minhag? So big question. There's no real clear answer on it. There's a Gemara on page 5. Okay, we're not going to read this whole thing. You could read it after. The Gemara in Psachim says, Tanya, Belezer Omer, Chotvin Matzah Belele Psachim Bishvila Tinoko Shelo Yishnu. Which sounds similar to what you said. You grab the matzah on Pesach night so that the kids don't sleep. Doesn't say the kids grab the matzah, though. So, look in the Rishonim, which he quotes, the Rishonim don't say that it's about the kids grabbing the matzah. A Rishonim appears to us, chotfen ha-matzah, ba-ofen sheba remez l'mina g'neva sapikomen. Rashi says it means you pick it up, or you take it away, you do strange things with the matzah, you do anything. But there's no remez in here about taking, and also, the lashon of stealing the apikomen, the poskim don't like. They don't like the lashon of g'neva sapikomen. Taking the apikomen. Even Geneva as a joke. The Rambam passes it is Geneva. Go and even a manas lemekat. Just say you steal something. Let's say you just want to bother somebody. So you take their pen. You take their pen, and they're looking for it. And they say, okay, here it is. Give it back the next day. Not supposed to do that either, right? Even as a joke, the Rambam says. So we're not supposed to use that lashon of Geneva to even though he says Geneva's apikomen in quotes. But they look for a source where this is from. On page 6, though, they quote, which is the Pashtus, and that is, the whole thing somehow started to keep the kids interested. There is a side benefit for us, though, and that is, actually a couple of daf ago in the Daf Yomi, Tosas pointed this out, sometimes, you know, by the time you finish the Suda, and it's getting late, and you already finished the meal, we'll sing Shir HaMalas, and sometimes you might forget to eat the Afikomen. And you might forget, it's possible. That's not the craziest thing in the world. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. This Chatos is 12:53 this year. So it's going to be pretty late. When we're going to eat the afikomen. So it's possible. So maybe, he quotes other achronim that say the kids aren't going to forget. They're not going to let us forget the afikomen. Oh, you didn't find it yet, and we're going to have to look for it, etc. So maybe that's another smach why the minhag started again, to benefit us, not just to benefit the kids, but to benefit us. So that is another idea of where this minhag comes from. Okay, so now let's get into the paragraphs of Maggid itself. Starting with Halach Ma'anya. Okay, two thoughts on Halach Ma'anya. Page 7 is the first one. It says Manishtana on top, but the Vart on the bottom is about Halach Ma'anya. One is more of a historical thought, and then we get more of a Makshava thought. Right, page 7, this is from the Haggadah of the Minchas Asher. Rav Asher Weiss, who spoke in the Young Israel a couple of months ago. Tremendous Talmud Chacham, lives in Yerushalayim today. So Halach Ma'anya. Two of the famous questions on this paragraph is, if you look on line 1 on the right side, Hatam she'omrim piskazu ba'aramis v'lo kashar ha'gadah b'lashon ha'kodesh. This is the only paragraph in the Haggadah that's in Aramaic. So why is this in Aramaic and the rest of the Haggadah is in Hebrew? out of all the things that could be in Aramaic. Why do we say Kaddish in Aramaic and the rest of the Davening is in Hebrew? Okay, you could have to ask that too. But here we're asking about the Halach Manya. Why is it in Aramaic? Second question that he'll deal with soon. Question that is asked. Again, many of the questions on the Haggadah are known, so hopefully we'll try to give some new light on some of the questions, and maybe just remind the Olam of old answers that are given. But the second question is, what happens? So we're sitting at the Seder, and we're talking to our families, and we're saying, whoever wants to come, feel free. The door is closed. It's not Shavuot HaMascha yet. The door is still closed. That's a great inviting. Yeah, we really mean that. You know, we're sitting there, everybody's, the door's closed, we're nice and warm on our pillows, and we say, everybody's invited in. Why don't you say that in shul? Why don't you say that earlier? So what's that doing in Halach Ma'anya? Yeah.
How can we suggest that you have
a
comment for the first part of the second, after the meal, and in order to do the second part of the Seder,
right.
We have to have the application. The first part of the second half of the Seder, after the meal, I shouldn't say half, but the second part
right.
of the
right, but you bet you had matzah before. You had matzah earlier. You're giving the Bnei Yisrael the benefit of the doubt, which is wonderful. But we're being a realist. It's late at night, and you know, we already had matzah, so it could be halavai. Not this should never happen. But this is just a safety guard that the kids we have in place that we don't forget. So those are the two questions on Halach Ma'anya. Number one, why is it in Aramaic? Number two, what kind of inviting is? So if you remember last year we mentioned, maybe it's not a real invitation. Rav Soloveitchik said, maybe it's, this is not here, but you could write it down if you want to get it from last year. Maybe inviting is just a reflection, is a simin that we're free people. An Eved doesn't do any inviting. Servants and workers in a house don't invite any guests. A simin that we're b'nei chorin, that's invite. So we're not really inviting, but we're saying it to reflect at the beginning of the Seder, like we do so many other things. We lean, we drink. This is what b'nei chorin do. We put on the kittel according to the nesiv, it's a beged of royalty, and we invite. Whoever wants to come, can come. That's a simin of chayrus. That's what the Rav suggested. But another answer, the Shibali Halakhet, quoted here in the Minchas Asher, Matzina b'Shibali Halakhet, line 3. He's answering the question of why it's in Aramaic. Shachoshishim shemayishmu hamazikim. Maybe the demons would hear v'yakalkulot asuda. V'loshen aramas einam evinim. So Chazal say that the demons don't understand the Aramaic. Okay? They don't understand the Aramaic. So the problem is, though, Shibali Halakhet docha tamzeh. So for two reasons. Number one, what about the rest of the Haggadah? So we just don't want them to understand the first paragraph, not the second paragraph, the rest. One. Two, the halolol shimurim hu umishur hu menamazikin. We know that it's a special hashkacha on Pesach night. That's why all the Kriya Shema Lamita, right? The minhag is to only say Shema and Hamapil. Many people only say that the whole year. But really, there's two pages of stuff to say by Kriya Shema Lamita. So on Pesach night, you only have to say the Kriya Shema and the Bracha of Hamapil. You can skip the rest because it's well Shimurim Hu. Hashem is guarding us in a special way. So therefore, so what do you mean? What are you worried about Mazikin for? So the Shibali Haleket, I didn't mention who he was. Shibali Haleket was one of the Rishonim. Rav Tzidkio HaRofe. It's one of the less known Rishonim. On line 8, Behevi B'shem Rav Binyamin Tamacher, Kedei Sheyavinu HaNashim HaTinokos. Aramaic was the vernacular of the time, and therefore women were illiterate for many, many hundreds of years. Up until 200 years ago, women didn't read and write, right, until recently. So, to make sure everybody understood, they said it in the vernacular. They want everybody to understand Halach Ma'anya. But again, the question is, if we only want them to understand the first paragraph, what about the rest of the Haggadah? That we don't care about? So that has to be something more. So suggest the Minchas Asher, Rav Asher Weiss, which once you hear it, it sounds really like the Emes. Vahanira, next paragraph, Vahanira Iker Bazeh, Debe Emes Piskazu Lohaisa Chelek Minusach HaHaggadah Klau. This Halach Ma'anya paragraph, if you read that God, it doesn't really even fit in. You know, Manish Tana, that's the beginning, that's the question and the answers. Halach Ma'anya is always like kind of by itself. So says the Minchas Asher, you know why? Because it must be that originally it wasn't part of the Nusach of the Haggadah. Right, what are you saying? Everybody come and eat if you're already sitting down. Everybody's here already. And what do you think? Whoever needs a Karban Pesach? What do you mean? You're not allowed to change your grouping of the Karban Pesach night. You got to choose your group earlier. So it must be, Ella on line 6, Barur, it's clear. This Halach Ma'anya was really something they used to say in the afternoons. They said it. They used to go around. Who needs a place to eat? Who needs a place to apartment Pesach? It was much earlier. So obviously, that's why it was in Aramaic, because that was the language spoken at that time. So that's why it's in Aramaic. Kol ol nishchad Pesach, before they shechted. And they, that was a real invitation. The Aniyim were listening. They went to gather the people in the marketplace. Everybody was by the Beis HaMikdash. You didn't have to go look for Aniyim. All the Jews had to go there to give a carbon that day. So if you see a guy on the street, do you have a carbon Pesach? Do you want to be mishtatif with ours? You want to come join us? Join our family on the wonderful mitzvah. And as a zecher to that time period, Bizman HaMikdash, so they instituted putting it here, but they kept it in Aramaic, and they kept the invitation. Once you hear that idea, it makes a lot of sense, because it doesn't sit like you read the Haggadah. We do all Kaddish, Uruchas, Karpas, Yachas, and Magid. What's Magid? So we're ready for the questions and the answers. So Halach Manya, he says, to answer both those questions, maybe originally it wasn't even part of the Haggadah. So that is one thought on Halach Manya. A second idea about Halach Manya on the next page is from the Malbim. The Malbim wonders why at the end of Halach Ma'anya are we really talking about the Geula? Right, remember, those of you who have Haggadahs, and they give it to you, the end of the Lashon Haba, Lashon Kan, Hashat HaHacha, Lashon Haba, Ba'arad Yisrael, Lashon Haba B'nei Chorin. Why are we mentioning the Geula already in the first paragraph? How does it fit in with the rest of Halach Ma'anya, the Echal of Asana? How does it fit in? For the first line, we say this is the bread that our forefathers ate, Hashat HaHacha, so how does the whole thing fit in? So he says as follows. This again, it's the Malbim, but it's quoted in this Haggadah Tali Oros on page 8. Hevdil gadol kayam ben golos Mitzrayim legolos achrona. Lately, says the Malbim, talking 150 years ago, the Malbim says our golos is somewhat different than it was in Mitzrayim. Kibaod, and I think this is a very telling message for Jews here living in America. Kibaod she begolos Mitzrayim inu as avosena bavodas parech. In Mitzrayim, it was a terrible, difficult, back-breaking labor type of galus. The galus achrona hadaram shonim. Many times over the past couple hundred years, it's been very different. Our galus. Medinot shonot manikot liyudim shivyun zechuyot umatzavam tov. A lot of countries give us rights. They let us vote. They let us open up yeshivas. They let us have Jewish organizations. V'yesh lahavin madua noeg hakadosh baruch hu kach in medara achra. Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing this with our generation? Why is he giving us this right? Why is he giving us this privilege? You know, Rachman al-Islam, we've had enough tsaras. But why? Says the Malbim, and he lived obviously in the middle of the 1800s, so he lived before Rachman al-Islam, the Shoah. But why is it that sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a little shalva, gives a little respite in between? So the Malbim gives a mashal. Line 6. Ben Yachid Hayel HaMelech, there was a son, an only son that a king had, and the son did not act properly. Achsar miderech aviv halach b'shirut libo. And he went and did his own thing. What happened? Higlo oso aviv l'medina rechoka. The king threw him out, sent him off to a far off land. Umach rishon avodas parach. And obviously the son had tsaras, and the son was upset and he was sad. And he says back to daddy, Abba, please take me home. I'll do better. I'm sorry. Please take me back. So the father says fine. Gets him, saves him, pays off the ransom, whatever it is. He takes him back to the palace. Wonderful. And obviously he's back at the palace, and he goes back to his old ways. And he starts going off the path again, and off the derech, etc., etc. The king throws him out again. The king says, come on, I took you out, get out of here again. And the same cycle happens, and he gets tsaras, and it's difficult, etc., etc. And the son sends back to the father again, oh, but please help me, I'll do better, I'll promise you, could just take me back, and I'll be good. So the father thinks to himself, I know this kid. I'm going to take him back. The same thing's going to happen. Ah, but I have a test. I have a way to distinguish whether he's telling the truth or not. So says the Malbim, if the father saves the child, he sends money to save him, but he doesn't say it's the father doing it. He does it privately in secret. He gets him out of trouble secretly, and the son's fine, and he gets saved over there. So now the question is he still going to come back? Now the tsaras are over. Now there's nothing going on over there. Does he still want to come back to me? Does he realize it's me or not? And the father will realize if the son comes back or not. That's the real test. Not if the father takes it back, of course. If the father does it in behind the scenes, says the Malbim, that's the pshat with different galios. Sometimes the Kaddish Baruch Hu gives us a respite to see where we're still yearning for, where our eyes are heading, and that's the pshat of Halach Ma'anya. Last paragraph. This is the poor man's bread that we ate in Egypt. In Egypt, it was terrible. We didn't have time to bake the bread. We were avadim. But now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us a little respite. Baruch Hashem, we're able to live like Orthodox Jews. We could even say, we could have a big Suda. We could have a Seder. We don't have to hide. But then we end off by saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we haven't forgotten you. We're still avadim. We're still in Galus. And we realize that this is all from you, and you want us back, and we want to come back to you. That's the flow of Halach Ma'anya. Halach Ma'anya, this is, there was Saras. Nowadays it's better, we could even invite people called Dechon Yesev Yecho. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's good for us, Baruch Hashem, but Hashata Avdi, L'shana B'Bnei Chorin, we haven't forgotten you, we want to come back to the palace. We want to come back to Eretz Yisrael. So that's maybe the pshat, the flow of Halach Ma'anya, and why we mentioned the Geula at that point as well. Okay. Next, Manishtana. Manishtana. So Manishtana, of course, are the four questions. Okay, we mentioned last year the Rambam doesn't sound like it's, the Rambam doesn't seem to say it's questions. He says, V'kanah ben Shoel, and even if somebody's alone, Manishtana might be a statement. The Aruch HaShulchan also says this. Manishtana, how different is this night? How unique is this night? But that's not the Pashas. The Pashas is that it's questions. And this already brings us to the point of that everything this night is in question and answer form. Everything is questions. Question, answer, question, answer. All the four sons, they ask questions. Everybody questions, answers, questions, answers. Why don't we just say things? What are we asking and questioning? It's one of the differences between the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim every single day and night of our life, which is the third parsha of Kriyashma. That's why we say that parsha for the last pasuk. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Joseph Yetziaschem. And the mitzvah that's once a year, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Telling it over on Pesach night. One of the many differences between the mitzvah of Zechira all year round and Sipur tonight is whether you just have to say it, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Asher Tzivtei Yisrael, or you have to say it in question and answer form. What's the big deal about question and answer form? Says Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky on page 9. Why does a drasha, whenever a rabbi gives a sermon, he always starts with questions? It's pretty boring. He always has a question. You always know. Two questions, three questions, all my smicha classes and why you. Okay, threes. Everybody likes threes. It's a very nice structure. Three questions, structure of three. But what do you need the questions for? What's the answer? Because you have to bother the listener. You have to bother the audience. You have to upset their equilibrium. You can't like, okay, you just say something. Oh, very nice. They're asleep. Right? It's not interesting. If everything fits in, you got to say something. You got to ask something. And every audience got to ask in a different way. But there's got to be something that irks them in order to keep their interest. That's what a question does. A question bothers us. A question doesn't let us sleep at night. If everything's perfect, then we just, you know, if you end up with a kasha on a gemara. For many of us, you know, there was something that we learned over the past year that bothered us. And everything that didn't bother us, we forgot. But if something bothered us, we remember the kasha. I never got an answer to that kasha. It still bothers me. Right? Why? Because that it affects us. It hurts us. Tzadik B'Chas Abramsky, that's why everything is a question and answer for on a Pesach night. It has to affect us. We got to ask questions. Our kids have to ask questions. We have to ask questions because that's the way to get people to think. To get people to think, to get people to look inside of themselves. He says, Kitam miyuchad leish ledaber v'dvar Torah hanemar keteretz l'kushi shuktim olo. You appreciate a vart, a dvar Torah, so much better when there was a good question that preceded it. If you hear a good kasha, and you're like, oh, that's a good answer. So then you're like, you get a flavor, it feels good. If you don't hear a shir, okay, sounds good. But if you say that, if you build up the question, and you make them think, what's going on here? Kasha on a Rambam, whatever it is. So then they get an answer like, oh, the light bulb. Shekach, you have to create darkness in order to create a light bulb. If there's no darkness, then the light doesn't do anything. Shekain dafka mitoch I habehirus shebesheela nikeres arivusam shel advar mabam keteres. Only because of the lack of clarity of the question, only then is nikar the sweetness of the answer. Says Rav Chaim Abramsky, you know where I learned this from? David HaMelech. David HaMelech taught us that it's best to be question and answer form. Where? In Tehillim, in Hallel. What does David HaMelech say in the second paragraph of Hallel? Malacha hayom kisan osayadi dizol yachar. Right? Malachai, what is he asking a question for? And then he answers, why is the yam jumping away? Malocha hayom kisanus. Right? Why is the yam jumping away? And then the answer is, Milipne Adar Chulir, Sod of Hashem. Just saying, Hashem makes the yam run away. What is he, a question giving an answer? Because Lebronsky, that's the pshat. It's a question and answer form, because David HaMelech is teaching us, that's how you learn. Malach HaYom Kisanus, David HaMelech asking the Kasha, what made this yam jump? Hashem made it jump. Then we appreciate it, but it's Baruch Hu's power. Don't just say Hashem made it jump. That's why the first question that we have, Manish Tana Alay Lazeh, we have questions. This is the most famous questions. But all the questions of the night seek to achieve this this goal. A second thought on Manish Tana. That's from the Abarbanel. Give it to you on the next page, page 10. This is from one of the, my father always used to use this Haggadah. It's the Migdal Eder Haggadah. You know, it has like 1,000 Pirushim in it. Oh, I have one of these, right? My father used it, maybe, I don't know, many of you, some of you could be my father. But anyway, so they, I'm saying, so Baruch Hashem, everybody's Ba'achtos. So this is one of those old Haggadahs that have like 1,000 Pirushim in it. So says the Abarbanel. And let's just preface it with a question. Right, the four questions, let's remember, it's about matzah and maror and the dippings and haseba. Those are the four questions. So one of the questions on these questions is, what happened to Dal and Kosos? That's also something different about tonight. So what happened to Dal and Kosos? That's also something the kids should ask. And if you want to tell me we didn't have the second cup yet, so it's not strange, we didn't dip yet either. We didn't eat matzah yet either. You know, we dipped once. We didn't dip twice either. We didn't have maror yet either. So don't tell me it didn't happen yet. He's obviously asking because of what he learned in school. Right? So what happened to the Dal and Kosos? Why is that left out? Only these four are picked. So says the Abarbanel, it's really one big question. Really one big question. Manish Tana, see on the right side. Manish Tana, let me call Alelos. Lefisha Belaila Hazeh, Anu Osim Inyanim, Morim Al Heyotinu B'nei Chorin, Ve Osim Inyanim Achirim Lehefech, Mor Mal Yotinu Avadim Nechnoim Bezuyim Ushfalim. There's one question that is being asked. This night is full of contradictions. This night is full of opposites. We do things like kings, we do things like slaves. We do things like royalty, we do things like paupers. What is going on here? That's the question of Manish Tana. You're right. He's not asking about exactly what he just saw. The questions aren't focusing on a specific act. It's in general about the night. Why are we dipping tonight? Dipping is something that royalty does. We have all the dips. We have all the accoutrements, right? To have the ketchups and the mustards. We dip and everything. We're like kings. We have everything we want. That's on the one hand. Every night of the year we can eat whatever we want. And tonight we can't go to pizza. Why can't I go to pizza? I want to go to pizza. Why? We can't do what we want. Matzah is a symbol of avdus in a sense. It's part of what matzah is. So we have royalty. We dip as much as we want, but we can't eat what we want. And then on the other hand, you can eat whatever vegetables you want. Tonight we have to eat maror. We have to eat maror for it. Simon of avdus. But on the other hand, we're leaning. It's royalty. What's going on here? So the question is, what about Dal and Kosos? No, these two are four. You have two of Avdus, you have the Maror, and you have the Matzah, and you have two of royalty. You have the Haseba, and you have the Tibulim. Why two and two? Look what the Barbanel ends off on the left side. Ulafish apishnayim edim yakum davar. Because you need two edim to testify about everything you're trying to prove. Hevi ala avdashnei ha'idim ha'heim, v'ala acheres ha'shayim ha'acherim. Two and two to prove the point. Don't ask me, what about Dal and Kosos? The point isn't to list off every single difference. The point is to ask the question, why is this night full of opposites, full of contradictions? And you bring two of each, because apishnayim edim yakum davar. Because you need two to testify, two to bear witness. That's Manish Tana. That's the question, right? We need a kasav ashlishi. We need something to answer. That's the question. This is trey or trey. This is trey or trey. It's achasha. Okay. Avadim ayinu. We can have a whole shiur on any one of these paragraphs, but we're trying to get through a little bit. about the Mayinim. So this following thought is kind of opposite of the Malbim that we had had earlier. This is from the, see on page 11, the commentators, Pesach Seder Haggadah. There are about four Haggadahs. The commentator is Rabbi Sender. So he has all he has are commentators, Rosh Chodesh, commentators Purim, commentators Hanukkah. It's all great svarim. But he has like four in Pesach. He has a commentator Seder, commentators Haggadah, commentators Pesach Seder Haggadah. They're all called. So I think this is the last one that came out. It's like the greatest hits. He writes in the front of it, he says, I want to put in some new stuff, but I've heard people like some of my favorites. He like compiled like the greatest hits of the commentator's Haggadah set, and he put it into this one. So if you want to buy one, this one, the commentator's Pesach Seder Haggadah. Anyway, so one of the thoughts in there is on Avadim Hayinu. So he gives a pshat to Manish Tana, but this is part of the answer of Avadim Hayinu. It's kind of the segue in between. Another question is implied in the four questions. Why on this night of Pesach is everything so orderly, serene, and peaceful? Look how beautifully the table is set, and how we sit here like princes, eating and learning. Why is it not like this the rest of the year? We seem to constantly live in disarray, on edge. Everything is disorganized and there is so much tension. Why is this night so different in the hectic life of a Jew? This is a Saturday night! Motzi Shabbos! What's going on here? We're all sitting here. It's 10 o'clock at night and we're relaxed. There's no phones ringing. What is going on here? Manish Tana Halayla Hazeh! So we answer the child by saying, it wasn't always this way. We answer them by saying, Avadim Hayinu L'Paro, we were slaves in Mitzrayim to Paro. Our history has never been peaceful, nor conducive to serenity. The Jew has never known order since the time of the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash. We have always been in exile, hounded from place to place, on page 12. First we went to Bavel, then we became subservient to Rome, and that was the second Beit HaMikdash. We lived through the expulsion from Spain and the Inquisition, and we fled from there to many lands. But in each place we were harassed, experiencing pogroms, mass murder, and genocide. We never tasted true peace, for everywhere we fled our lives could, and often did, turn into a nightmare. We were constantly forced to flee from place to place, and even after the world became supposedly civilized, the Jews were not given any peace. You can see this is kind of opposite of what the Malbim had said a couple of minutes ago. Anti-Semitism followed us, and we rarely enjoyed equal rights. For centuries, Jews carried the burden of heavy taxes, humiliation, being forced to live in ghettos, and then came the worst of all nightmares, the Nazi Holocaust. Even now that we have our own homeland, there has never been a day of peace. For not only are we constantly threatened by our hostile neighbors, but the whole world stands ready to malign and destroy us and does not let us live in peace. So the child asks, why is it so serene? We say, Avadim Hayinu L'Paro B'Mitzrayim. Much of Jewish history has not been like this. But you know what we're doing tonight? We're getting out of the crazy, hectic world we live in. And we have Seder. Tonight we're going to have orderliness. Tonight we're going to have something that's going to take us away from the world around us. We act as if we were indeed free. We act as if we have the Beit HaMikdash, and we're davening for the Beit HaMikdash, and we daven to have the Seder Avodas Yom HaKippurim, the other Seder on the halachic calendar, the Seder of Pesach and the Seder, another connection between Pesach and Yom Kippur, the two Sedarim of the year, things that you have to do in order on both times. So when we answer the child, Avadim Hayinu L'Paro B'Mitzrayim, it's kind of saying, not everything was always so nice. That's the message of Avadim Hayinu. Mascha, like the Gemara says, Mascha B'Gnus. You got to start off with the terrible. You got to start off feeling the pains of Klal Yisrael throughout the generations. Only then will we, Ezra, be able to feel in a couple of hours, feel the light, feel the Geula that we're supposed to feel. And another thought on Avadim Hayinu. The last line of Avadim Hayinu, again, this one might be a little well known. And he took us out, etc., etc., etc. And the last line, whoever does Sibur Yitzias Mitzrayim is praiseworthy. The question is asked, Sibur Yitzias Mitzrayim is a mitzvah. Since when does Hashem say, give us such a pat on the back for doing a mitzvah, what we have to do? Whoever does this, Harei Zeh Meshubach. But you have to do it. Whoever wears scissors, Harei Zeh Meshubach. Whoever. You have to be married to Sibur Yitzias Mitzrayim. There's no shear on it. You have to do it. What do you mean, Harei Zeh Meshubach? You have to do it tonight. So why is it so Meshubach? So says the, another Haggadah I have at home, Dole Yisrael, the also a compilation. So on the bottom right, he says, Vayesh Lahavin, Ma Halashan Harei Zeh Meshubach, the Mashmash ain't a mitzvah chiyuvis. It's not that it's not an obligatory mitzvah. Larei Kfar Nemar, it says, Chayiv Osam Lasuk Bilchot Pesach, Obitiyas Mitzrayim, this is the Shulchan Aruch. Until sleep overcomes you. The Brisker Rav once said, he wonders, it's wonderful and beautiful that Klal Yisrael stays up on Shavuos night. We stay up and learn, we have Shiurim all night. That's a minhag. There's a din in Shulchan Aruch. You have to stay up all night talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim until you fall asleep. But we go right to bed right after the Seder. Okay, maybe we'll say Shiurim for 5 minutes. On Shavuos, we're so mocking for the minhag, and tonight we're not mocking for the din. So Brisker Rav had that ha'ara. Okay, it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with staying up Shavuos night to learn. But it's ha'ara that we have to push ourselves again. We have to realize that we're davening the next morning, and if we stay up extra late, like the Chavetz Chaim used to turn off the lights in the Beis Medrash at 11 o'clock. He said, go to sleep. Let's see what your chakras is going to look like. You stay up till 1 o'clock in the morning learning. You know, that's the Yetzihara. Chavetz Chaim says, V'hazer satan milfaneinu u'me'acharenu. He's saying hashkivenu. What is, V'hazer satan milfaneinu. Remove the sun from before us. What's me'acharenu? What does that mean, the sun from behind us? Says the Chavetz Chaim, no, sometimes the sun goes up behind you and pushes you to do a mitzvah. Yeah, go stay up all night learning. Yeah, let's see what your chakras is like. Yeah, go do this, and we'll see how you behave, how grouchy you are tomorrow, how you talk to your wife. Yes, yeah, stay up, wonderful. You're a big tzaddik. Sometimes the sun sneaks up behind us and pushes us. So says the Brisker Rav, that's a halacha. You have to stay up until you fall asleep. Once you see you falling asleep on the table, you can go to sleep. So that's a mafurish halacha. So what do you mean hareza meshubach? It's praiseworthy to do it. You have to do it. Says the Haggadah, Gdol Yisrael, says the Ksav Sofer, the son of the Chasam Sofer, the Ksav Sofer, maybe it's related to a Machlokas HaTanoim. There's a Machlokas brought down at the end of Pesachim and also Mitzachas Brachas. When does the mitzvah of Karban Pesach and Matzah end? How long do you have? That's a Machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Akiva says you have all night, up until the morning. According to Rabbi Akiva, you can eat matzah until the morning. Oh, chatzos, when chatzos? Don't worry about it, says Rabbi Akiva. You have all night. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, no, you only have until chatzos. We're machmir because it's a safek, who the halacha should be like. We're machmir to finish by chatzos. Because we think maybe halacha like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. But all the mitzvahs basically finished then, by chatzos. The matzah, the current Pesach, the Sipur. What's the next paragraph right after Avadu Mayinu? What's the next paragraph? Maisa with the five rabbis. Who were the great rabbis? Rabbi Akiva, we remember Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and Rabbi Yoshua. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was one of those rabbis that stayed up all night learning. So it says the Ksav Sofer, the next paragraph is the riot for what we just said. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the mitzvah ends at Chatzos, and he still stayed up all night learning. That's called Marbel Asaper Hariz Meshubach. That's a proof, that's a continuation of the previous line. Marbel Asaber is a Meshubach. That's when you go above and beyond what's expected and what's Mechuyev. Because according to Rosamund Azariah, it ended by Chatzos. If it ended by Chatzos, so then what is he staying up all night learning for? So says the Ksav Sofer, he stays up all night learning because of, to show that he's going above and beyond what the Chiyev is. Two thoughts, those were two thoughts on Avadam Hayinu. Okay. Interesting story quoted. We'll just do another 5 minutes or so. Interesting story quoted in the Minchas Asher. Now we're on the next paragraph of Ma'aseh Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. That right, it says that the Talmidim had to come and tell the Rebbe's, oh, Kriya Shema Shel Shachar, time to say Kriya Shema. Time to be Mekabel Malchus Shemayim, right? Kriya Shema. So he just quotes a story, a Hasidic story here from Levi Yisrael Mibradishev. I don't know what to do with the story, but you can say it over and you'll get a chuckle from somebody. The Levi Yisrael Mibradishev was one time walking back from Shul on Pesach night. And he listened to the, you know, it wasn't like we have houses with closed doors and yards, but you can walk through the streets, you can hear people in their houses, like sukkahs. Right, so one time he was going by, he listened to a Yehudi Pashut, a simple Jew, who was saying the Haggadah in his house, as I guess he davened somewhere else, and he was in the middle of the Haggadah already, and he hears him going through the Dalits, the four sons, Echad Chacham, Echad Tam, Echad, but he hears him saying, Echad Chacham, Echad! Russia, being Marech in Echad. So Levi Yisrael Mibradishev, the Sanhedrin, the defense great of Klal Yisrael. So he says, he goes into him and he says, well, what's going on? So he says on the last line, Ki zocher hu bimei hayaldus. I remember when I was a child, Sha'aba limedo so, Shekasub b'shulchan aruch, Shetzorech laharech be'echad. Right? My father taught me that you have to say a long Echad in Kriya Shema. Echad! So he said, I remember that, so I do it right here too. Echad, chachad, echad, Russia. So Rabbi Yitzchak walks out and says, oh, Klal Yisrael. He says, look at this Jew. We spend all night trying to reach the level of Kabbalah to Malchus Shemayim. Right? Achagia Kriyash Mashal Shachris. Until that time, Kriyash Mashal Shemayim. And this Jew already got it in Baruch HaMakom. in the Dalet Banim. He's already there. He's already Ma'arav Be'echad. That's Reb Levi Yitzchak. How you look at the actions of a Jew. You don't say, oh, what a nut. Right? That's what we would have said. But Reb Levi Yitzchak, he says, ah, that guy's a fool. Look what he's taking the halacha from Hilchos Kriyas Shema. But he's saying, oh, look at the godless of a Jew. That's Ma'aseh Reb Elazar. One more. I'm back to the next two. I'll come back to next. I just want to skip one because I want to end off with one I think that you'll enjoy. I think hopefully you'll enjoy all of them. But we'll come back to page 15 and page 15 next time. Let's skip to page 16 for a minute, which is the next paragraph. All right, Elizabeth Azaria. I'm like Harani Kemen Shivim Shana Velo Zachisi. Right, etc. Rashi ben Zoma, we know that. Right, so the Gemara describes, what does it mean, Kiven Shivim Shana, he's like 70 years old. So what does that mean? It means he was 18 years old, and they made him Rosh Hashiva, and he says, oh yeah, I don't have a white beard. So, overnight, the Kodesh Baruch Hu helped him grow a white beard. So, fine, he became the Rosh Hashiva, and he's a white beard. So, Sazer Pincus, what's shot with a black beard, a white beard? What's the difference? Well, I have a white beard, I have a black beard. What's the message of a Zakin Shachar in Lavan? Cesar Pincus, unbelievable. He says on line on page 16, Shachar v'Lavan towards the bottom. Heim tzva'im hayichidim she'enam tzva'im ba'atzmusam. Black and white are the only two colors of the spectrum that aren't inherently colors. Black absorbs all. The child crayons with 20 different crayons, it turns black. Black is a combination of all colors. White is clear. White is no color. It's all pure. It's clarity. Cesar Pincus, when we're younger, when we all have our black beards, we do things for a lot of different reasons. We do things for kavod. We do things for kesef. We do things lishma sometimes. But we have a lot of different kavanas why we do things. But once we get the zakein lavan, once we reach a certain level of maturity where the beard turns white, there's only one kavana. And that's Lashma. We know Asad Litin Esadin. We know the Melech Malchei Amlachim is coming. So Shachar symbolizes youth. It's black. Black encompasses all. It's all those different kavanas that we have as we go through life until we reach the level of the Zakein Lavan. The Zakein Lavan, which is the purity, the clarity, where you have one kavana. When we can reach that level of maturity, that's what happened to Reb Elazar ben Azaria. He was black, but Ariani Kiven Shivim Shana, because he's already been through those life experiences where he's reached the level of the Zakin Lavan. That's the switch from black to white. And that's the message of youth to the message of Zikna. So that's what maybe the thought is. The Hevdol ben Zakin Lesoyer, Ariani Kiven Shivim Shana. He says, I'm a Lavan, but I'm a Shachar, but I feel like I have a Lavan. That's a thought on Reb Elazar ben Azaria. Bez Hashem, guess we'll have to stop here. Guess people have to get up early for the daf tomorrow. And Bez Hashem will continue with Ma'aseh Reb Elazar ben Azaria and hopefully have some more Makoros next week.